Good morning, Newville. That is an enormous blessing. I'm always blessed greatly by Tad and Liz's songs. Thy will be done. I need to add a couple of prayer requests that I somehow just lazily, dreamily let go by, but I wanted to also add Fred and Carolyn, Judy and Gary, the couples in our family that we're praying with, but also my mom and Dick. My mom especially, for both of them, all of them, but the person going through the illness is sometimes the one we think about, but then the people who are caregivers and taking care of them also, I think as Kathy has asked for prayer for her mother, need prayer. And my mother is not doing very well. Those of you who know my mother can imagine her losing 10 pounds. She has lost 10 pounds, and so you can picture her and wonder where those pounds went. But she is having a very difficult time, and I'd appreciate prayer for her specifically and for Dick and all those couples that I mentioned. And I also thought about Dan, who is not here today and not feeling well, and he always asks for the leading of the Holy Spirit, so I'm asking for him. I'll take a dose of that myself. The scripture verses I'll be reading today are the ones that you have on a handout, and I'm going to be reading all of them. And then at the end, I'm going to be reading something from Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, which continues to bless me. And when I read those, I almost always read sections of them to Tim. And he has asked me to read just a little section of June 16th. And so I'll end with that. First, John 10, verse 10. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. John chapter 8, verses 43 and 44. Jesus says, "Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." And from verse 47, "The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God." From Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." And from John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23, again, Jesus to his disciples. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And from Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, "God saves a man and endues him with the Holy Spirit and then says, in effect, 'Now work it out. Be loyal to me,' while the nature of things round about you would make you disloyal." And may God bless that reading of his word.
Does everybody have a copy of the scriptures? Did everybody have them when you came in? Did you get them, Henry? Rocky, can you get copies of those scriptures back there? Nelson, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody there? Alana, you got yours? Yeah, okay. It'd be helpful if you had those. Everybody else got it? Well, as Teresa read from Oswald Chambers and what Paul says in the second chapter of Philippians, we're here to put our salvation to work. We are here to put our forgiveness to work. And we're to do both of those things for his good purpose. If I salvage a piece of equipment, I don't salvage the piece of equipment for the piece of equipment's sake. Make sense? I salvage it. That's what salvation is. I salvage it so that I, the salvager, can put it to my good purpose, can make it work for what I want it to be used for. See, that is the purpose of our faith, and that is so often misunderstood and overlooked. Your faith has a very powerful impact or not in God's kingdom. And what I want to do is explore two powerful ways that I think are overlooked and under-discussed, two powerful ways that we put our faith, we put our salvation, we put our forgiveness to work for his good purpose. And I gleaned this from two things, from Scripture and from my own life's experiences. When I look at Jesus, the two things we're looking at here, a way to put your faith to work and to put your salvation into work, are behind-the-scenes internal things that have a very powerful, on-the-stage, on-the-scene, external result. This is very much the Christ pattern, and it is very much our conformity to the image of Christ. I remember when Jesus said, the miracles and the things that you see me doing, he said, you will do even greater things. And we look at sometimes working out our salvation for his good purpose, and many times we relegate that and limit it to doing things like, and the following things I'm going to mention are all good and needed, doing things like, you know, Jeff was here last week and he talked about the produce distribution that Matthew 25 Outreach does. That is a great thing. Or you can, Nelson's girlfriend is on a mission, you know, and going and actually maybe building, sometimes missions or you're involved in building schools and that sort of thing. Those are great, and those are all part of working out your salvation for his good purpose. But I'm going to tell you something, and here's what Teresa and I have tumbled to in the past few weeks, because let me tell you something about my wife and me. The enemy has thrown everything in his toolbox at us, including the kitchen sink, and meant to sideline us. Because if this concept takes hold of you and in God's people, these ways to work out your, to put your salvation to good use for his purpose, if this gets a hold of you, I guarantee you it will change your lives day by day. Because that's what has happened to us. And what could we possibly do? You know, we look at Jesus healing somebody. Well, he was bringing the kingdom, right? He was showing people in his healings. That's what his miracles were. His miracles were a very powerful way to say to everybody, this is the kingdom of God in action. This is God's future coming forward to meet you in the present. Because in God's future, the lame, there will be no lame. There'll be no deaf. There'll be no blind. And then he even raises the dead. And we look at those things and we say, extraordinary. And they are extraordinary. And that was Jesus himself, Jesus of Nazareth himself. That is how he put his faith to work for God's good purpose. What could we possibly do now that would, as Jesus said, to be more powerful than that? Are there things that we could do now that are more powerful? And my answer to you is yes. there are things that we can do now that are even more powerful. I want you to go with me on this journey to explore these two powerful ways to work out your salvation, and you can do it, and you can start it within the next minute. And you can do it every day, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour. And that is these two things. Number one, forgive in all circumstances. Number one. Number two, remain loyal to him in all circumstances. Maybe you are not able to go hand out produce on the Matthew 25 outreach day. Maybe you're not able to. Maybe you just don't have the energy to do it. Your health does not allow you to do it. Maybe you're not able to go on a mission trip. And sometimes you can think, well, then what do I do? What can I do that is powerful and irresistible way to bring God's kingdom here now to bear, to work out my salvation, to put it to use for his good purpose? These are two things that you can do. These are internal things that you can do that have such a powerful influence and a powerful way to insinuate God's kingdom into this world today and now. Before we get into that, we're going to take our time with this, and we're going to look at, we need to understand, the enemy's purpose in this world versus God's purpose in this world. So we need to understand that first, and that's where we look at John 10:10. Look at John 10:10 there. Very clear cut. This is who he is, the enemy, small h, and this is what he does. And Jesus contrasts that with what the enemy does with what Jesus does. This is who Jesus is, and this is what Jesus does. A thief, he's talking about Satan, a thief comes only to, maybe you want to circle that. That's the only thing that the enemy comes to do in your life and in God's world. These three things: steal, and notice it's not or. Did you see that? It's and. The enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's who he is. That's what he does. These are, I'm thinking of Lonesome Dove right now, Great Western, Jake Spoon. Jake Spoon got tied up with, he had some riding companions. Bad influence on Jake Spoon. Ended up costing Jake his life. And when I read that, I thought, stealing, killing, and destroying are the riding companions of an unmerciful, uncompassionate, and unforgiving heart. They're the riding companions. This is where you come in. This is the internal thing. This is where you influence and insinuate your forgiveness into God's world for his purpose. Okay, that's the enemy. He comes to do that. Contrast, look what Jesus says. I, on the other hand, have come so that they, who are they? Well, they're the ones that the thief is after. So that they may have life and have it in abundance. This is who he is. This is what he does. Now, how do they accomplish these things? How does the enemy steal, kill, and destroy? And how does Jesus bring life and bring it in abundance? How would you think? Is this the struggle on the Calvary? Is this a direct conflict between Satan and Jesus? How do you think the enemy does this? How do you think Jesus does it? How does the enemy steal, kill, and destroy today? How does Jesus bring life and bring it in abundance today? You don't think your faith is important? You don't think your salvation counts? You don't think you can work it out for his good purpose? Let me tell you, you can. Here's how. The enemy and his minions leave this in their wake. The enemy and his minions, his image bearers, in their wake, something has been stolen from somebody. Something has been killed in somebody, and something has been destroyed in somebody. Relationships, life, doesn't matter. That's what the enemy leaves in his wake, and that's what people who are his image bearers leave in their wake. Conversely, Jesus and his image bearers leave in their wake mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. Mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. Someone says, I'm going to insinuate myself into your life. I'm bringing something to you. And God told me to do it. And once they bring that into your life, something was killed. Something was destroyed. Something was stolen. Now, I have no doubt that their God did tell them to do that. Small g. Satan is described as the God of this world, isn't he? And this is the cosmic struggle that we are in. How do these two competing voices, these two competing gods, accomplish their purpose in God's world today, in the good creation? It's dependent on who you listen to, the competing voices that you listen to, the competing gods that you listen to. Look at John 8, 43 and 44. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen. It's not that you don't. It's not that you want to. You can't. You can't listen to my words. Why not? You are of your father, the devil, and therefore you want to carry out your father's desires. What are the devil's desires? What are the devil's purpose? To steal and to kill and to destroy. What do you leave in your wake? I'll tell you, this has been so massive for me. It has changed the way I look at my patients. It has changed the way I look and interact with, again, I was telling Teresa, when I go into a store and I see people coming and going, or I have dealings with a clerk, I am so acutely aware of the massive impact that I have on that person's life. Did you ever think that? And then I ask myself further, what did I just leave in my wake? Did my interaction with that person leave, did I steal something from them? Did I kill something in them? Did I destroy something? Because if I did, I played right into the enemy's hands. To my shame, I've done that. Or did I leave in my wake life, abundant life? Did I leave in my wake with that person that I may never see again? Mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. And you know what it comes down to? Who you listen to. the competing voices. The enemy accomplishes his purpose in God's world through people. God accomplishes his purpose in his world through people. And the struggle, brothers and sisters, who are you listening to? And you can know who you're listening to because you turn around and you look at your wake. What did you leave? Your wake identifies which God you listened to. Capital G or small g. God told me to do it. I'm sure of that. Your God, which is yourself, because your selfish agenda just happened to steal something, kill something, and destroy something. Look at John 8:47. And here's what I did when I did prepare this message, and maybe you want to do this. I put, where does my flag go on this map? You know how you have a map up there and you put pins in the map where you're going to go? So I said, where does my flag go on this map of whom I'm listening to? This can have massive, massive consequences for your relationships. Massive consequences for God's kingdom. The one who is from God. Okay, so who are we listening to? Jesus just contrasted what the enemy does, what he does. Okay, now Jesus is saying, dependent on who you listen to. The one who is from God listens to God's words. That's why you don't listen, because you're not from God. This is a day-by-day interaction. Day-by-day, moment-by-moment. Please be aware of this when you are interacting with other people. Please understand, because you're going to have competing voices coming at you. You're going to be in a situation or circumstance where you're going to have competing voices. What do I do here? What do I say? How do I react here? This person was just rude to me. What do I do? Competing voices. And you can, the way you can influence a person that we may never know, may never see, may never be aware of. You see what Jesus meant now when he says, you can do something even more powerful than me when you employ these things? What's in your wake? What do you leave? Understand also about these competing voices. And I want you to understand this next statement. Who you listen to is evidentiary, not causative. Well, what do you mean, Tim? Who you listen to is evidence of who your God is. Capital G or small g. Get that? Jesus makes that clear. He says, you can't listen to me because I'm not your God. And then he makes it also clear, if I am your God, you will listen to me. It's evidentiary, not causative. In other words, well, I'll be God's man by listening to his voice. Jesus says, no, you can't. You can't hear it. It's not going to happen. You can't. The first step is he's your God and you're his person. And then you will be able to listen to him. And then in your wake, in these circumstances that you come in contact with, you will leave mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. You know, those three terms keep ringing in my head. And I think of, you know, I said last week, I was really able to be with my patients in a new way, because when these people come into my office and are under my sphere, are in my orbit, and you've got them too, those three words ring in my head. Mercy, comfort, forgiveness, or steal, kill, destroy. Which is it going to be? Which voice are you listening to? Because both of those voices come at me. Come at me. But Jesus says, if the enemy is your father, you'll listen. And then further, not only will you listen, you'll want to do it. You ever been there? You'll want to carry out his desires. How does that feel? How do you feel afterwards? Let me tell you a personal story. I'm going to cover up the address. See this? This is a letter I wrote 2 years ago, probably. Someone over four decades ago did something that afflicted me and afflicted some other people who were with me. It's bothered me for over 40 years. It would come, it would go. And finally, I came up with a solution. I'm going to write a letter to this person. And I'm going to tell them what they did to me. I'm going to make sure they understand. Because if I do that, then I'll feel better. Right? Wrote the letter. Sealed it up. Has a stamp on it. It was on a Saturday. Went down to Belleville Post Office, mailed it, went back home. The competing voices started. I was out mowing my yard. You know, at first I thought, okay, I'm finally going to get that monkey off my back. They're going to know what they did. That's going to take care of me. I'm going to feel better. Then the good angel started. And here's what the voice said to me. Do you have any idea, Tim, what is going on in that person's life right now? No. Do you have any idea that maybe they're struggling with something right now? Well, that's possible. Do you have any idea what their health is right now? No. Do you have any idea how that letter, once opened and read, is going to affect them? I can tell you right now it would have hurt them. It would have stolen something from them, guaranteed. It would have killed something in them, and it would have destroyed something in them. Which voice was I going to listen to? What was I leaving in my wake? God does this to me, and you know, it's quite a thing. It's quite a struggle because he brings these experiences to me and then I tell you about them and it always lines up with Scripture. So I'm there mowing. It's on a Saturday. Post office closes early. Okay. Turned off the mower. Got in my truck. Drove down to the Belleville Post Office. Now what happened from here never happens. It just doesn't happen. They're about to close. Clerk let me in. I said, this is going to be a strange request. I said, I posted a letter here this morning. I put it in the outgoing mail, and I said, I wonder, is there any chance I can get that letter back? She said, well, she pointed over this huge basket. She said, "And there's all the mail, and it's ready to be picked up. And you're really not allowed to rifle through. Once letters have been posted, you aren't really allowed to rifle through and see what everybody's mailing. But she said, because she knew me, she said, but okay, I'll let you do it. Yeah. So I went in there, rifled through, pulled the letter. The story's not over. Talk about your influence on the kingdom and listening to the right voice. See, in that instance, God, capital G, was my God. And I listened to that voice because I do believe that he sent me, and I do believe that he guides me. And even though the enemy kept trying to tell me, you know what, Tim, you've got every right to mail that. Yes, forensically, I did. Everything in my letter was true. everything I said did occur. And it did hurt me. All of those things were true. And the enemy comes at each one of us and says, if you do this and you leave in your wake stealing, killing, and destroying, they deserve it, first of all, and you'll feel better, second of all. You know what the problem with that is? You know who else has something stolen and killed and destroyed in them? The one who listens. The one who does the enemy's bidding. You've experienced that. Because he's the liar, and he's the father of all lies. And he hates you, and he hates humanity, and the way he insinuates his purpose into God's world is to get you to listen to him. But do this. What will you leave in your wake? Had that letter been received, in its wake, stealing, killing, and destroying, for the recipient and me. Oh, God told me to do it. Two, 3 years passed. The letter's here. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was put in a situation to be able to speak to the people that were harmed along with me about this incident. Didn't know it was coming. I had no idea this was coming around. Teresa was there. Had I mailed that letter, my presentation would have been completely different than what I was able to do at this service. Because, you see, because I didn't listen to the enemy's voice, because of what happened to me over four decades ago, because I didn't mail it, and because I listened to God's voice, the Holy Spirit gave me such a powerful new take on what this person had done to us that I was able to get up in front of hundreds of people and insinuate life, an abundant life, into that group because I listened to the right voice. I thought it was over. I thought, okay, I didn't mail the letter. It's over. But because I didn't do that, because I didn't steal, kill, and destroy the recipient and me, life was injected into what, Teresa? A lot of people. You never know what God will do with your obedient listening. You'll never know. But I'll tell you what you will know. Many times, and this is, and we're going to talk about a story coming up here in Scripture about this. You will, and this is like God's judgment. You'll see your wake of stealing, killing, destroying, and that's painful. Competing voices. Who you listen to, what's in your wake, and the power that you have and that I have. This is such a power that we have. It's like, what happened that day that I did not mail that letter? It's like I was taken out into the middle of a pond and dropped a pebble. And over the intervening years, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger in my mind. I mean, God's working in this. And eventually, I saw it hit the shore a few weeks ago. And now I get it. Now I see. And it's completely reframed. That's what you're able to do. That's what you're able to do today. And it may be years before you see the ripples of what you did, and because you listened, hit the shore. Or you may never see it. See, had I listened to the enemy's voice, the small g, small god, I would have also dropped a pebble into a pond. And I'm also confident I will probably have seen the ripples of that hit the shore too. We wield tremendous power for the kingdom. And it is incumbent on us and you and me to just be aware of this very, very simple thing. Very simple thing. What will your action, what will your phone call, what will your email, what will your letter, what will your conversation leave in its wake? Because it is not benign. And an influence in God's kingdom that goes beyond anything we could imagine occurs by listening to the right voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that these, your people, would listen to God's words. Amen.